am Eli Sarnat from the University of California at Davis, and I'm going to be talking about new ways to make taxonomy fun, believe it or not. First, I'd like to acknowledge some of the people and organizations that have helped with this project. And the project is nested within my thesis research, which focuses on the ants of Fiji, which includes a faunistic revision of the archipelago's ant fauna, taxonomic revision of some of the endemic clades, the production of identification guides to those clades, biogeographic analysis, phylogenetic inference, especially with some help with some collaborators, and then ultimately trying to find some ways to build in conservation applications. And this talk is primarily going to focus between the link between identification guides and conservation application, specifically the development of a guide to invasive ants of the Pacific. This project was started from the Pacific Ant Prevention Program, which is a project of the Secretariat of the Pacific Community. And their primary objectives are to stop the spread of two ant species, Wasmania oripunctata, that's the little fire ant, and Solanopsis invicta, also known as Rifa, or the red imported fire ant. And to do this, they've already have a system in place throughout the Pacific of early detection. So they're working with quarantine to set out baits. You can see the peanut butter and meat baits that they set out in high-risk areas. And then those are put out all over the ports. And this collects a huge number of specimens, as you can imagine, from ants. The problem is those specimens have a bottleneck when they reach the identification point. There's a lot of people collecting them, but there are very, very, very few people who can identify them. So the idea was to build an identification guide to invasive ants of the Pacific Islands for non-specialists, specifically for a workshop where 13 island nations had their representative personnel who were going to be responsible for the identification. There were a couple challenges. First is that a lot of these people have very little taxonomic experience, and some of them had never even looked under a microscope. So we got them in the University of the South Pacific with microscopes and laptops, and they ended up having a lot of fun. Second challenge is that ant species are technically very difficult to identify. Here you have Solanopsis geminata, the tropical fire ant, and Solanopsis invicta. And geminata is a nuisance. Invicta is a major threat to public health, environment, agriculture. The solution to these two challenges, more pictures, less words. Solanopsis geminata, for instance, the only way to distinguish it from invicta is that the anterior portion of the clypeus is missing a median tooth. I'm using line drawings as cartoons to try and keep everything simple and similar to each other except the particular character that is under consideration, and then using photographs to actually illustrate what actual specimens can look like. The third challenge is that invasive taxa are polyphyletic. So here we have the shapes might be representative of different genera. Blue species could be considered native, red species invasive. So not only do the people responsible for identifications have to distinguish the invasive species from each other, but they also have to distinguish the invasive species from their native sympatric congeners. Here's a look at some of the taxa that are included and going to be included in the key. And you can see a number of the genera are only represented by a few species. And here's some of the characters, just to give a quick look at that I've been using for the key. And I thought I'd also just show how I've done some of these line drawings. Using Adobe Illustrator, which is a really fantastic tool, I take an auto montage image, throw that into the Illustrator, use the pen tool to draw an outline around the different parts. So here we have the head, throw in the eyes, the mandible, antennal scrobe. And if you're doing this, you want to be doing it in different layers. So then have a different layer for the mesosoma and the coxa, petiole, postpetiole, gaster. You pull out the photograph and you're left with a really nice illustration. And that illustration can then separate here, for instance, the mesosoma from the head and the gaster just by removing those layers. And using Illustrator, you can scale it down and scale it up really easily. So it's easily deployed for the internet and for publication. Throw some text in there and you've got a really great character to put into an identification guide. I've also been using Lucid 3, which is I think probably the greatest advance in taxonomy in the last couple hundred years. It's a major advance, perhaps the first major advance in taxonomy in the last couple hundred years. So this is a matrix key. You have features or characters on as rows, and the columns are taxa. So here's a look at the guide I developed or am developing currently. Here in this window you have the features available, so you have to make a decision for how many segments it has in its waist. And over here you've got the taxa. So waist segments, you have a variety of options. One, two, or perhaps the waist segments are hidden. So you can see there's three character states there instead of the usual two character states that you would encounter in a dichotomous key. You can blow up those images, giving different examples. And then there's also photographs to illustrate that using automontage. And those can also be blown up as well. So does it look like this, or does it look like that, like this, or like that? Okay, it's got two waist segments. So you select that, and then three new features pop up that you can select from. And you can either choose any of those you want, or you can hit this little magic wand, this best button, and the software will automatically decide using an algorithm which is the best character to separate the remaining taxa. So it decides propodeal spines. You have to make a decision on that. Well, maybe you're not comfortable with that, so you can hit the next best feature and skip over that, which is another thing you just can't do in a dichotomous key. And then you have to make a decision here on the antenna scrope. Is it present? Is it absent? You look at some of the examples, you decide it's absent, so that leaves you with Solenopsis as the genus. The key then breaks into species. So you have four species here, and so here's our character. Is the Clypeus margin, is there a median tooth present or is it absent? There's the illustrations, and then you can take an even closer look. This is a notoriously difficult character, but immensely important to decide. If you've got Rifa, you've got a major problem on your hands. And if it's early detection, you've got a chance to keep them out of your country. And if they're there for a year, a couple years, that opportunity's gone, and you've gone from an eradication program to a management program. So it looks like it's present, Solenopsis invicta, call the cops, big problem on your hand. From there, it'll link to a web page developed with Factsheet Fusion. And that web page has different nomenclature, some diagnostic features, similar species, that's really important, and those will each have links to their own web pages. Similarities, and you can see the bits highlighted there in yellow are a glossary, so that'll just pop up with the definitions right there. And then you have a little chart here for a kind of quick reference cheat sheet for how to distinguish this species from similar looking species. And then, of course, you also have the images, which can all get blown up and which a lot of non-specialists prefer to rely on rather than the characters. And I'm working now with USDA APHIS, Center for Plant Health, Science, and Technology, over the next year to develop this into a nice package similar to this invasive mite identification guide aimed at non-specialists. And at the end of this workshop, it was really incredible to see how much fun these people were having practicing taxonomy. It was like a computer game or watching a movie. It was interactive. There's certainly a generational gap and divide between people who are familiar with computers and people who weren't. But I think as time goes on, it's going to be a much more fun world out there for people who have identification challenges ahead of them. Thank you very much.